Hello, friends, and welcome to the 29th edition of the Fantasy 15 here on Sound of the Loons. We're here to give you 15 minutes on your 15 roster slots for MLS Fantasy. We'll talk a bit about what happened last week, a bunch about what we think is going to happen this week, and honestly, that's probably about it, because guess what? We've reached the final week of the fall season for Fantasy MLS, and I have to say, Jamie, we had good times, and we had bad times, but we had times.
You had a lot more good times than I did this season. I don't want to mention names. Corey Burke.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Play the highlight reel of...
I feel like that's where everything took a downward spiral for my
Jamie
year.
Jamie played a guy who was deported.
Yeah. As my captain.
Yes.
As my captain.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. any credibility I had.
So I'm clinging to the hope of a top 200 finish overall right now. I'm at 180th overall, which is worse than I started last week, which I think was like 156 or something. But yeah, I had 144 points last week. I've fallen off. There was a period where I was rolling and I was, you know, up there. I was in like the top 50.
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's all gone wrong.
So basically we're fighting for the same thing position-wise. If you have your number and then you just add a zero behind it to mine.
The top 2000.
Yes. So does that mean you're about 180? I'm about 1800 right
okay,
now.
All
so
right.
Yeah, are you 10 times better than me at this? I don't know.
It's a geometric question. It's really geometrically better than you, not just arithmetically. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, spell arithmetically. I can't. I don't even know if I can say the word right.
Let's talk about for the last time here, fantasy booms and fantasy busts. Who did well for you last week?
I mean, look, it was a week in which we relied on one man and one man alone.
It was a
one-man show, captained up top by Zlatan. 52 points. You love to see it. A couple of dream team performances. Pavone as well. I had him in there. Sebastian Blanco I had. So those were my real big booms, my big three players that made it to the dream team. And that, my friend, is where it ended.
After that, I fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
I had Pavone as well. I had Zlatan. I've been steadfast in my refusal to captain Zlatan.
Is that out of principle for just personal reasons?
I think it stems back to captaining him some week on a double game week when he ended up with 6 points or something.
It always ended up being the case for you this year, wasn't it? Every time you didn't captain him,
He went off.
Yeah. Every time you did, he said, here, Steve, here's what I think about your team.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sabotage it.
Yeah. So I stuck with my always captain Vela. And, you know, I mean, he got me 34 points as a captain.
Which is, I mean, it's not bad.
That's
normally.
Certainly not bad. So I had Zlatan. I had Vela. I had Pavone. I had Maxi Morales got 14. Magnus Eriksson got 10. And then that's where, after that, my defenders did nothing. They all had double game weeks, all single digit performances.
Yeah, so. I feel like there was very few shutouts, obviously, throughout the week, several double game weeks. Yeah, you were very consistent in your team. It was a couple booms. Very solid team, but what about for you, Bus?
Yeah, there was. I mean, I had that LA Galaxy thing where I've got a great front end here and a terrible defense.
Yeah.
I had Matt Arita had 7. Tommy Thompson actually lost points for me for getting a red card. He had 8 going into the second game. He ended up with 7. My boy, Romant, he had 6. Nick Lima had 6. Jamiro Montero was on my bench. He had 8. Darwin, who I threw in as a sort of dark horse, maybe he goes off this week, had 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Sean Johnson, who is my goalkeeper, and he got 5 in the first game. It wasn't great, but I was like, 5 is kind of that cutoff of like, that's a decent performance.
Yeah,
right?
You're going to spot yourself 5
if
points.
If he gets 10, if he gets 9 or 10, great. He had 6,
yeah.
You know, and I was just like, this is, I could have gone with somebody else and maybe gotten a little more out of that, you know, goalkeeper position. So what about you? Who really let you down?
Well, in a double game week at home, both games, needing to fight to get above the playoff line, your boy went all in. I broke the bank. Morea put up 4 points.
Yeah.
And Steve Clark in goal put up 6 points. I thought that was going to be a surefire. There'll be at least one shutout in there. They needed to do a good job of being able to be tight, stifle teams going forward, get maximum points at home, and they let me down.
Yeah.
And Roman Metzner, he got 6 points as well for me. wasn't great. Felcher got 9. That was okay.
I think he had an assist.
So he wasn't as big of a bust as I put Rusnak and Brandon Vasquez with the injury to Joseph Martinez. Both of those guys picked up 7. And then my real bust, I say bust, I left one spot open for a switcheroo because Shea Salinas and Mason Toy were players that I knew were going to get significant time.
Friend of the pod, Shea Salinas.
Yeah, absolutely. Friend of the pod for sure. And Mason Toy, friend of one of the co-hosts.
He likes us. Mason's okay.
Great. Yeah. So, look, I put both of them in because they were both cheap value, sat on my bench. If one of them went off, great. They both got 2 points.
Yeah.
And a double game week.
That's great. Okay. So this question about playing Portland in these games where they need to get a result and then they're just not getting results. This feeds directly into our decisions this week because it is decision day this week, which means that every damn team is playing at the same time. So don't worry about keeperoos. You're not saving it for anything.
Set your team up. Best team out playing.
Yeah. It's going to make for a very hairy in this area, 2:30 PM. On Sunday.
Hectic,
when we're just we have to look at every lineup.
Scrambling.
All your changes. So,
but you have a good idea of probably who's going to be playing in these games.
I mean, I think so, but I think that, so here's the question, right? How much do you trust, the trends with the players overall in the season or, in the weeks leading up to it versus sort of the entire context that goes into these games? Because there's some teams who need to win. Does the need to win boost those players up? On the flip side, are there teams where you're thinking they're not going to give it their all? I mean, I don't think anybody's resting completely at this point, but there's different. This is no longer just like we're playing regular season games. This is like
it's playoff games for some, and for some it's not. And to your point, I know exactly what you're saying with this. Vancouver Whitecaps at home against Real Salt Lake. Vancouver eliminated from the playoffs.
Nothing to play for.
Real Salt Lake needing to be able to go and get nothing less of a win if they want the chance at a home playoff game and needing a few other results to go their way. Very easily could happen. They could be hosting a playoff game with some of the results going their way. So do you choose to go with a Real Salt Lake player in that matchup? Or do you go with the Vancouver Whitecap player at home? Because traditionally that's a better, mindset to go with.
And to what extent do teams like Vancouver and FC Cincinnati, I mean, obviously when you have nothing to play for, you can not show up. We've seen it happen with Minnesota United the first 2 years.
Keep in mind though, you're very right.
You're loose.
Yes.
There's nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Right?
So. Yeah, nothing to lose except your job.
Right.
So this is still, there's a lot to play for. Yeah. Maybe not statistically.
Yeah.
But, look at FC Cincinnati. They're now playing in front of a brand new coach who's going to try to figure out the core of their team. And this is a game in which if you're playing, in this game for a reason. I was actually a player in this game once with Real Salt Lake when I was playing against Houston Dynamo at home in a game in which we were already eliminated back in either 06 or 07, one of the years. And I remember thinking, I'm essentially a player that has gotten sparingly minutes over the course of the season, but this is an opportunity for me that I'm going to get 90 minutes to play in this game. And I've got to basically show something in this game that gives the coaches an off season to think about, okay, there's still something there. Mm-hmm. Right. And,
this is the kind of fantasy analysis you can't get anywhere else is these desk jockeys who never played the game. Here's, like me.
This is, it took me all of, 29 weeks to be able to get to a point where I brought something to the table. Here we are.
Also, as we said, Jamie was early today. He got here earlier than me.
You're only as good as your last podcast, Steve.
Exactly.
So you may have been here 29 times earlier than me. Today was the one day.
I'm not playing for my job. Apparently.
No, I do think there is an element of don't just worry if a team is eliminated.
Yeah.
There is still a lot to be played for players going forward. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily throw that mentality completely
out. Right. So let's look at some specifics here. All right. This came up on Fantasy United FC, when they finally got to talking about fantasy, which took them half the show. Guys, I love the sports. I love the analysis of the actual game, but I'm here to find out who to put in my lineup.
We're going fantasy here. Yeah. Okay. We'll go to everything else on MLSsoccer.com.
Right.
For that.
So they talked about Valeri. Do you look at Valeri's recent fantasy output and say, it's not so great. He's getting older. He hasn't started all the games. He comes off the bench, which is, we've heard commentators say maybe that's better for him at this point in his career in some sense. Or do you look at Portland hosting a game they absolutely have to win and going with a guy you expect to come through in that big moment? Like,
I'll put it this way. I will be shocked if Diego Valeri is not starting.
Yeah, he's got to start this game.
You have to start a game in which they have to win. I would, if Valeri's in the lineup, Valeri also is very much stating that he wants to be in Portland next year. Mm-hmm. If Valeri goes off in this game and he gives you a goal and an assist, he gives you two goals and an assist, he gives you two goals, yeah. whatever it is. If he creates goals in this most important game, he's now basically a player, as weird as this sounds, that is playing for his future.
Yeah.
I want a player that's motivated to be able to get in to my lineup, because I think he's got everything to play for, both financially, but also he's probably set with his finances. I don't know that style or that part of his life, but this is a guy at this point in his career who's playing for longevity.
Yeah.
And he knows that this is a game he needs to produce. I want a player that has that mentality going into it. Valeri will find his way into my lineup if he's starting.
Yeah, I'm with it as well. I also like Valeri in that situation. And
because there's just more than just this isn't week 27.
Yeah.
This is decision day.
Yeah. So also along those lines, this is an important game for the Galaxy to secure home field advantage. But, you know, Zlatan, you'd expect him to come up big given the stakes, right? You know, uh-huh. This is what Zlatan's a big game player. But he's also been like super dismissive of home field advantage. Like every interview he's given, he's like, well, you know, it's one game. You know, wherever you go, we'll play. It's fine. I feel like he has not presented the picture of this is the game we have to win.
But keep in mind, Zlatan is also two goals off of Carlos Vela for the regular season title, who he said he's better than.
Yeah.
And you don't think that he wants to have a motivated performance to go and score three goals decision day and be able to say, I told you so. Yeah. There's nobody in this world that loves saying, I told you so, more than you and Zlatan. 1A, 1B. I don't know which one's first, but that for me is motivation right there in and of itself.
Yeah.
Personally and team wise.
Yeah. It's tough because it's one of those things where I think the LA Galaxy with Zlatan on the field and him wanting to score goals, terrific.
Yes.
Their defense can't stop anything. That doesn't matter. Yep. Zlatan's going to get there and score goals. The LA Galaxy out there without Zlatan, it can be a pretty good team.
Yeah.
The LA Galaxy with Zlatan on the field when he doesn't really feel like doing anything is terrible. Nothing's going to happen for that team. So, and there's all these, you know, I feel like I just find myself going back and forth on it, right? You know, like he wants to get this scoring title, right? But he's also going into the playoffs, which is what he really considers important. And they know that the Galaxy they're in the playoffs, but they don't know where they're going to play. And he doesn't seem to really care where they play. So, you know, I don't know. It's Houston is not a fun place.
No, it's not. It's, but I will say this though. I mean, Houston eliminated from the playoffs. They have a new coach, so they may try to mix things up too, lineup wise.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I think you find a way to get Zlatan in, and then keep in mind the flip side to it. Carlos Vela tied with Joseph Martinez right now.
Vela's going in there for me.
APV.
Yeah.
ACV.
I mean, he
always play Vela, always captain Vela.
Vela's quiet as opposed to Zlatan. He's not a talker. You know, he's not going to come out there and say he's the best, but he's going to want to destroy Colorado. He's going to want to get that point.
And his teammates are going to want him to get a goal. You don't think any free kick in around the box?
Yeah.
What do you think? As good as Atuesta is standing over the ball, you think he's going to look Carlos and say, hey, I got this one. You take a back seat. Like, he's going to go, Carlos,
get in there.
Yeah. Take everything.
Yeah. And Vela looked better despite the draw against Minnesota United last week, in which he scored on that beautiful left foot. He looked better than he had recently, I think, in terms of it seemed like they were giving him a little more leeway to float out of that center line. You know, Rossi was coming in a little bit more. He would float out and get the ball a little out on the wing, which is where he likes to get over.
I think he was better when he floated out wide.
Yeah.
When he has to play up top.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets as many chances just because naturally you got two center backs that both instinctually will tuck in and both want to go step to him to try to cover him, right?
And he's
wide one-on-one. That's why you had Brian Rodriguez had so much success, hit the post twice against Minnesota United. I really like him out there because he's so fast and he's big and he's quick and he can get a shot off. He can create for himself. I like Brian Rodriguez a lot the more I get to see him play.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple other slightly dark horse choices that I wanted to consider based on these things about like what this game means, you know, Ozzie Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about him as maybe a good bench option. He's only $8 million. Minnesota definitely wants home field advantage. That they have not dithered about this the way the Galaxy have. And they're playing for it against Alonso's former team. And based on, like, I thought back to that draw against Seattle that Minnesota and I had earlier, which was a team that was not as good as this team is now. That was a team that was, you know, a little more cobbled together at that moment in time. But everybody really played for Ozzie in that game. I remember that Ozzie played really well, and the whole team really wanted to do well for him against his former team. Now they're going into their house, and this is a much better Minnesota United team than at that moment. I'm not saying that Ozzie scores goals necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised for him to get an assist or a goal or get a ton of bonus points just for being that active, holding mid that he is.
I see what you're saying with that. For me, as much as I love the romantic side of what this will mean to Ozzie Alonso from a player standpoint, this is where for me, I'm going to basically fade Ozzie in this game, because I think that he is a player in which this game will mean a lot to him. I think there are a potential for some goals in this game. Seattle at home very rarely get shut out. Minnesota United are going to be conscious of that. They may throw an extra number in the back. It may be something similar to what you saw at LAFC. So that could help Ozzie being on a team that shuts out and gets a shutout bonus. But I just don't see a situation in which it's a ton of attacking from Ozzie Alonso. So you're really relying on bonus points and potentially a shutout, which on the road at Seattle is it's unlikely.
Don't kill my dream.
You know what? It's the last week. You're also 10 times better at me. So take what you say with me with 10 times as many grains of salt.
I also like Jan Gregus, who's maybe the alternate option that I'm considering. He's more expensive, but he has
set pieces he takes.
Set piece taker, corner
shots
kicks,
from distance,
yeah, free kicks, corner kicks.
And set pieces are going to be very important for Minnesota United on the road. Yeah. So.
And he averages like over 6 fantasy points a game, like quietly. Really good production from Jan. I think I've had him in my lineup almost every week at one point, and I don't know if I've ever actually gone through and played him.
Here's what I'll say about Ozzie Alonso. If this was early in the year and you wanted to buy, you needed to raise your money, he's on the back of did not play, but 12 points before that, 6 points before that, 5 points before that. He was probably a sure thing to go up in value, but if you scroll the rest of his point totals, it's 4s, it's 5s, it's 6. It never really varies much from that.
Okay.
So I love the feel good story, and we'll get a chance to interview him, and it'll be a great one. But from a fantasy perspective, this is a player in which very different than Diego Valeri and Ozzie Alonso, but two very heartwarming storylines. Could it be the last game for Valeri at home? Is it Ozzie Alonso returning to CenturyLink for the first time in a decade? Yes, but I'm going Valeri as opposed to Ozzie for the reasons we talked about.
All right. Last thing I want to touch on, where do you go for goalkeeper? You're basically making one goalkeeper decision. There's not going to be any switcheroo. There's not going to be any keeperoo here to figure out, like, see what one guy does and then figure out somebody else. What are you thinking right now as far as the best possibility for a shutout and or, bonus points, things like that?
I'm looking squarely at two games. Okay. There's two for me in particular. One, DC United. I'm not sure when Bill Hamid has to go off with the Nations League. So if he's here, then with the U.S. roster, then I'm thinking, okay, he's my goalkeeper there against FC Cincinnati at home. But then also too, whether it's Tyler Miller or Cisniega, LAFC at home versus the Colorado Rapids. Yes, the Rapids still have a chance. Yes, they need everything to go their way. So there will be attacking, free flowing soccer from them. I don't know. I mean, yes, they have 3 goals against Dallas, but LAFC at home, I like them in that situation. I think that they could get a goal at, Bank of California Stadium, chasing the record to be the best team ever, regular season point wise. Those are the two that's going for me, whether it's Miller or Cisniega in goal. What about you?
It's an interesting idea. Hamid was my first choice. Great game last week.
Yes, stood on his head at Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, and playing against, obviously, an FC Cincinnati team, again, who don't have anything to play for. And maybe they're playing loose, but they didn't play particularly well at any point this season. I think that Hamid could have the best shutout potential possibly. I hear what you're saying about LAFC. I think Colorado, I see it two ways. My initial thought was Colorado has been on kind of a tear recently.
They've been scoring goals. You're right. And so that is a bold shout.
Yeah. And so I look at that and, but I also think about the fact of look at teams that have had success against LAFC in Bank of California, which is basically Minnesota United. and it was that 3-5-2. Or
5-3-2 defensively.
That is very thick and hard to get through, and then attacking on the counter. I don't know. I mean, Lalas Abubakar is great. I don't know if Colorado has the overall defensive acumen to play that way and then spring it.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
I think it's very possible that they concede early and then they're just chasing the game. And then you can't play that sort of 5-3-2, that
they have to win the game and get three other results go their way to get in. There's still a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
I love the story, but yeah. I don't know. There's some other options that I think are possible. There's things like the Timbers, like San Jose doesn't really have a striker. I mean, other than Wando, who's great, but he's also 37 at this point, you know? And so like there's other teams that don't have a ton of attack. Toronto hosting Columbus. Like, I don't know about how I feel about Columbus at this point. So there's a lot of options, no real home runs. I sort of think Hamid is maybe the best option. If I can find a cheaper, better option, if I decide that I do need to have Zlatan in my lineup, then
you know what? I just looked up the roster. Bill Hamid didn't get called up to the Nations League team. So Bill Hamid's good.
All right.
There we go. That just came out and I hadn't actually gotten a chance to see it, see the lineup yet. That had just come out. You know, we were recording this and it came out just a little bit earlier. So, okay. Yeah. So Bill Hamid is the option for me.
That's the shot.
I thought that's how good he's been playing. I thought he was a shoo-in to get called in, but instead it's Brad Guzan, Sean Johnson, and Zach Steffen. So there it is.
Yeah.
It's Bill Hamid for me.
Okay. Well, the sand and the, I guess it's the third of an hour. I went a little long. I decided partway through.
It's the last one.
It's the last one.
Let's if you're upset about it, don't worry. There's not going to be another one after this.
It's canceled. Who knows? We might not even get renewed for a new season. So the sand and the third of an hour glass has run out, and we have come to the end, my friends, of our inaugural season.
Thank you for the listeners. We really appreciate it.
I want to thank everyone out there for participating in our league, except for whoever wins.
Yeah.
Warner, I guess.
We wish you didn't play.
Yeah.
But congrats on winning.
Yeah.
And thank you for everyone that joined our league.
Good job. Maybe you can have my job next year.
Sure. Yeah.
For Minnesota United and Jamie Watson, I'm Steve McPherson. And remember, don't let your fantasies be dreams. Make your dreams come true.